Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, December 15th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. Are you ready for the show today, John?
I am, because I'm snowed in. There's no place else to go.
Awesome. Well, you know, we should just all curl up by the fire and have a friendly discussion. And and there's no way to make it more friendlier than by adding Brian Chaffin.
That's me. Yay!
That's you. Yeah. It's awesome to have you here today, Brian.
Thanks.
Yeah. I did find a little bit of humor in you having to debate whether or not it was fine to have you here.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyhow, we have a sponsor this week, and it's MacFund's Aurora HDR for the Mac, which is pretty awesome. We'll be talking about that in just a bit. But before we do, you know, I said it was friendly discussion time. And there's a reason I wanted both of you on the show today, and it's because I'm really curious to get your take on something Netflix is doing, and to give all of our listeners the setup before we dive into this discussion. Netflix has come up with a new way that they are encoding video, and the end result is that you can have higher quality potentially, but your file sizes that are streaming to your computer or your Apple TV or whatever device you're using are going to be 20% smaller. And they've been doing some internal tests for quite a while. This has been a 4-year long project, and they can't tell the difference between the previously encoded stuff and what's been re-encoded to be the 20% smaller file size. And so they have been updating files as they can.
And for some people, they can send 720p or 1080p.
Right.
When they couldn't before.
Right. And so the deal is what they realized is that they were encoding all the video sizes based on bandwidth availability. So the lower your bandwidth, the lower the video quality would be. And what they realized is that they shouldn't be treating all video equally. And the big example is, let's say you have a children's cartoon that has very flat colors and simple shapes, and then broad areas where it's just a single color. That file doesn't have to be the same size as, say, the new Star Trek movie, because there's not nearly as much happening in the video. There's not nearly as much data that you actually really need to encode. So why not encode the videos with a philosophy of, if it doesn't need to have as much information, you can encode it at a higher quality and still have a smaller video. And then they've also been working on their algorithm that they use for their compression, so they can make sure that they're not losing quality, and so the trade-off here is you get to watch a video that looks as good or better than what you were seeing before, and it's not using up as much of your monthly data from your broadband service provider.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm all over this. I'm all about this. I'm saying bring it on. Encode the crap out of this, and it should all be done sometime in the first quarter of 2016.
Wait, gentlemen.
Yes, John.
I did not have a good taste in my mouth when I first saw this morning.
And why is that?
Well, it could be that Netflix is doing something very clever, and I will start off by saying that I have not read up completely on the technical aspects of what they're doing. So this
that's
was new,
never
new
stopped
to me this
you from
morning.
Being wrong before.
No,
John.
It's never stopped me from having an opinion before. But if now this is a strong if now, if they're doing something very clever and fitting in with regular standards, this is fine and amplifying off of that. But if they're trying to develop a new video compression standard, or if they have developed one, if they're departing from the H.264 and the coming H.265 that's been jointly developed by the motion picture experts and the Joint Task Force Committee on Video and the Video Coding Experts Group, the VCEG, if they're making the waters murkier here and departing from these standards that have been developed by video experts for years and years, and if that results in complications that arise with how you have to receive the video in terms of the hardware that you have, and introduces and murkies the waters in terms of what silicon you have to have in your TV. I mean, we already have enough problem now with HDR.
Why would you think any of that? Maybe they're just,
you know, they've been going to the...
Who says it's going to be a standard? It's what Netflix is doing for its own video. So, well, I mean, there's nothing in the news that implies that they're going to be competing with any of the various open standards out there.
How is this video going to be received? It's going to be through the Netflix app, right? Which means it's going to have to be done in software. And right.
It's already being done.
Yeah.
They've been delivering content to us.
Software is never as good as hardware when it comes to codecs and compression standards. And we all have equipment with H.264 built in hardware, I believe. It just started making me think, you know, what are all the issues here? You know, is this going to create trouble in the industry? Because we're trying to move to 4K. We've got a great standard for 4K called H.265 or HEVC, the high efficiency video coding. Is this Netflix being kind of, you know, off on another track and making things more difficult and ignoring, you know, well-developed standards that we're all planning on using?
Or is this
something really smart? I don't know, but it makes me ask questions.
I'm usually the reactionary one who wants to protect the status quo. That's sort of my personality.
This isn't status quo. This is well-developed, extensive, highly researched, efficient coding developed by experts for years with multiple committees. International, by the way.
Well, all right, so compare their resumes to the resumes of the people that are doing this in Netflix. Oh, that's right. You don't know who it is.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, really? You haven't, huh? So then how do you know that they're not experts?
Well, it's...
I woke up this morning with an opinion.
I want to know more. I want to do research. I had an unsettled feeling when I first saw it, which makes me think, oh, I should learn more and find out what's going on here.
Here's one thing we know. They're doing better than what the experts have done.
Oh, we don't know that.
I can look at my television and tell
you that. They're saying that they're saving 10 or 20%. So they're doing better than what's already out there.
They said they couldn't tell the difference, which means, you know, it's self-serving, right? Oh, gee, we have this new thing. We can't tell the difference. You should believe us.
Okay, John, so here's what they did to try and tell the difference. They set up matching televisions running the same show. One encoded the old way, one encoded the new way.
What was the old way?
Whatever they've been using previous or are currently using and are transitioning away from.
Well, maybe they weren't using H.264. Maybe they were using something else.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But the people that – so their own employees, what they said was, we have this bottle of expensive champagne. The first person that can consistently tell the difference between the videos wins the champagne. They haven't given away the bottle of champagne. They've also set up video comparisons for other people outside of the company.
That's the kicker. The employees don't matter. It's the video experts, the CNET review guys, the standards committee groups, the magazine experts. Those are the people who can tell the difference.
And so far, they haven't been able to tell the difference.
Yeah, it's interesting, John. It's like you think that everyone that just started working at Netflix and, like, you know, they were hired from hot dog carts.
Well, no, I'm not saying that the people at Netflix are
who knows more about streaming video at this point.
Well, Amazon knows something about it.
You know, Amazon knows something about it. Amazon Prime Video stuff is nowhere near as big as Amazon. Oh, excuse me, nowhere near as big as Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I know. But there are lots of people doing lots of things with lots of expertise. And
so why can't Netflix be one of those companies?
Well, I said, this was my first hair trigger reaction. Are we faced with yet another competing standard that's going to muddy the waters in the industry as we're trying to transition? Or is this something very smart? And as I warned you at the beginning of the show, I need to do more research, be convinced that this is a good thing and not a complication of our video life.
John, I'm looking forward to your public apology and an admission that I am right, that this is a good thing. And okay, so John, here's another thing to keep in mind. What Netflix has been able to do with this new way of encoding and new philosophy towards how they encode all the different videos they have is that this is going to make it easier for them to serve higher quality video to people that are in areas where they otherwise wouldn't be able to get anything more than just like this blocky, watercolory, crappy-looking video.
That unsettled me too, because a 20% improvement, it pales in comparison to how the ISPs are improving their bandwidth. It used to be a few years ago that if you had 10 megabits per second into your house, you were in heaven. And now Comcast is typically, in my neighborhood at least, and I've read this about other areas, typically delivering 50 megabits per second.
You're looking at the wrong market. Well, the markets you need to look at for where this is incredibly significant are outside of the United States, outside of Japan, outside of the United Kingdom. We're talking about places like countries in Africa.
Well, a 20% reduction is easier to achieve in your transmission capabilities than the 20% reduction in the effort in a 20% reduction. In other words, if you can go from 6 megabits per second to 7 megabits per second, you've increased your bandwidth by 16%. So you've basically equaled all the effort that has gone into this algorithm. So
I'm surprised at how resistant you are to this.
I don't believe that 20% improvement is vital in Netflix being able to deliver, you know, double their market audience and make a breakthrough. It's a very small improvement that's easily achieved by tweaks to your internet bandwidth in evolving countries and in the highly advanced countries.
I'm going to respectfully-ish disagree with you. I think it's actually very significant for Netflix, and this is going to be very important for people in developing countries where the internet infrastructure is not very reliable, and in many cases, that internet infrastructure is limited almost exclusively to mobile devices. There are a lot of people where their only internet is on their phone.
It's true. Well, that may be true, but you have to look at the socioeconomic profile of the people too. I mean, if Netflix is trying to move into areas where the bandwidth is very poor because the regional has a low socioeconomic profile, then how many people are going to be able to engage in something like Netflix? That's another issue that just came to my mind.
It's an issue that's been on Netflix's mind for a while, because this is exactly what they're trying to do.
I think they're just trying. Well, my first blush reaction was that they're trying to set another standard and undo all the work that's been done.
The whole thing, John, was more along the lines of "Get off my lawn." In my day, we let the experts do the video streaming. We didn't go mucking about with it ourselves and call ourselves experts too, because we weren't.
Well, you know, what started this is this splintering of high dynamic range in 4K TVs. We haven't settled that yet. And that's still a big, big issue. And 4K TV isn't going to be able to move forward until the big guys get together at CES in January and start settling how they're going to do HDR on the next generation 4K TVs. And I talked to somebody from IHS Supply the other day. Paul Gagnon, and he told me that it's a mess, and the TV manufacturers show no signs of wanting to get together on a standard for HDR other than the one common standard, the Dolby Visions. And everybody wants to do their own variation or change to that. So, you know, having been studying that deeply and knowing what's going on there, and worrying about how we're going to do HDR on TVs and which ones to buy and who's going to support it through streaming and so on, that kind of triggered me to look at this situation as another splintering of compression standards, the same way HDR has splintered. And so that was my first.
You've been working on that lawn for a long time. You don't want those kids mucking it up. I get it.
Well, you know, I have research to do here. The verdict is not in. Let me do some reading and find out more what's going on here. I may change my mind. But I'm open to the idea that Netflix could convince me that this is a good thing. But when I woke up this morning and came into my office and looked at Jeff's article, I went, oh, no.
You went kind of ballistic is what you did. Yeah.
Started plotting out the kids' trajectory and their actual locations with some expectations on where they would be standing in any given moment and the actual damage that might possibly conceivably do to your grass. It was a scene.
It was pretty epic is what this, it was. Yeah.
This is how Brian brings entertainment value to the show.
Now, John, I think you've been doing a good job today, too.
Yeah, I think that you brought the entertainment today. I just pointed it out.
Yeah, and it's not that often where I vehemently disagree with you, John, but
well,
today.
You couldn't wait to have me on the show because you were anxious to hear my opinion.
Well, yes. And you were so much more reasonable about the way you pitched it than you were in our morning meeting.
Yeah, I wish I had recorded that and just dropped that out. Like the show today.
Put that in a loop.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Oh man, I could only imagine the memes that would come out of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, yeah. Okay.
Love you, John.
Yeah, John, I do love you. I do respect you. And at the same time, right now, I'm really looking forward to having you on the show where you talk about how you were wrong.
I could well be. I've admitted several times I might be wrong. Netflix might have a good case here.
They just might. Okay, so we need to move on, and what we're moving on to is our sponsor, and that sponsor is MacFun and Aurora HDR, and I'm pretty excited that they are sponsoring us this week, because if you're someone that has to deal with photography and the frustration that comes along with not being able to get the right exposure through an entire image, Aurora HDR is a really, really great add-on for your Mac. And what it does is it lets you take multiple images that are different exposures of the same thing and then blend them together into a single image where you have the best exposure from each element. And that way you get to have an image that looks really good all the way through instead of having something where, if it's a nice snowy mountain scene where the trees are black, And you can pick out the details in the snow, or the snow is just completely burned out and white, and you can see the trees. This lets you fix all of that, and what they've done is they've put together this package where you get Aurora HDR along with a bunch of really cool training and how-to videos, along with an ebook that goes deep into how to use Aurora HDR. And the ebook is written by Jeff Carlson, who is a really talented photographer. He writes for Tidbits. He's also a friend of mine, and I really respect the work that he does and his writing. So that's like a great bonus addition to the whole package right there. So this is something that's typically going to run you about $200. But because the MacFun people really like us, they have a special link that you can go to so you can get the whole package, the Aurora HDR, all of the training from Arcanum, and a bunch of bonus photo textures that you can use, and a tutorial from Trey Ratcliffe, who's one of the world's top HDR photographers, and then Jeff Carlson's ebook. $99.99 for all of this. The deal's good through December 31st, so please don't procrastinate because I'd hate for you to miss out. So here's what you do. You go to aurorahdr.com/TDO. And for those of you that are thinking, wow, Jeff talks really weird because he learned how to speak in Missouri, I will spell that for you. AURORAHDR. AuroraHDR.com/TDO. So head on over there and pick up Aurora HDR and all this awesome training and Jeff Carlson's ebook, $99.99. That's a totally awesome deal. And thank you, MacFun and Aurora HDR, for being our sponsor today. All right, so we are pretty much out of time, but before we go, Brian, you had an awesome tip that you posted on Mac Observer yesterday, and I thought we should just let people know about that real quick because I think it's going to be really helpful for a lot of people.
Rightio, the email settings, actually this is called mail settings lookup. I found this, I've been setting up a new iMac, and at some point during this process I ran across this link over at Apple's site, but it's called mail settings lookup, and you stick in an email address and it spits back your incoming and outgoing mail server information, username, server host name, server port, authentication, and whether or not it's using SSL or TLS for encryption. And this is handy if you're setting up an email client and you don't necessarily have those problems, or if you're doing some troubleshooting and you're wondering if you have it set up right, like, you know, because you're helping your aunt,
right? Which something makes like sense. That. Which makes sense because we all know your aunt has horrible trouble.
Oh yeah, you yeah, know? Yeah, totally. And so it's I don't know. It's anyway, it's useful. It's super fast. It takes seconds. The only real problem with it is it only works with the majors. So for instance, I tried an @macobserver.com. address, and even though our email is hosted by Gmail, it wouldn't work.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you know, if you're testing your company's email, there could actually, I think there's a high degree of probability that's not going to work, that it's not going to work. But if it's Gmail or Yahoo or Hotmail or, you know, all of the majors, it should be just fine.
Cool.
And that's most everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're right. That's most everybody.
And of course, .Mac as well.
Right. Okay, so this is a really great way to make sure that you have all the settings for your email, that you have them correct, and a great troubleshooting tip.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, super fast.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you wrote it up. That I think it's going to be really handy for a lot of people.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And hey, we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here, and thanks for that awesome tip.
Yep.
And John, thank you for being here and bringing your contrary opinion today.
It was a pleasure, I think.
Yes, John, it was a pleasure. Yes. And MacFun and Aurora HDR, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to aurorahdr.com/TDO and pick up the awesome HDR software for your Mac, along with all the great HDR training and Jeff Carlson's book, all for $99.99. That's a really sweet deal. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.
Good luck with those kids.